ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Papito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated, 37 make death, 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm an ever so modest host. I'm also an award-winning writer, and I won 4 Golden Glove titles in my time. So allegedly, supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But I've always found the average fan knows more than me. So I will open up this toll-free phone line. If you'd like to impart, you can. The number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or if you want to go incognito, you can text me here in the studio, the two studio text number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, the fat lady has sung Manny Pacquiao's toast. Stick a fork in him. Bottom line is, the Cuban that beat him last week isn't a great fighter, but Yordi Ugas, give him props. He won that fight clearly. No doubt about that. Manny Pacquiao's talking about cramps. We'll hear his post-fight speech a little bit later, but he's talking about cramps, this and that. The bottom line is, Father Time is undefeated. He is just unbeaten. Nobody beats Father Time, and Manny Pacquiao was 42 years old. So Manny Pacquiao, we'll talk about the world of boxing in large. Of course, Tyrone Woodley and Jake Paul. Who's that? Jake Paul is this YouTube freak that a lot of you people are getting off on. Me, not so much. Bottom line is, he's going to fight a former MMA fighter tomorrow night, an MMA champion, and Tyrone Woodley, the former welterweight champion of the UFC. That's tomorrow night on pay-per-view. So we'll get to that, and take it back, Showtime. We'll get to that to an extent on this show as well. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide, coming to you on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USC channel, WBC TV, and of course, Veev TV, the happening network. You are tuned to Ring Talk. Don't even want to go, even you can change the mood, with a little attitude, at the attitude
test. Oh, at the attitude test. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
12 and a half minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, of course, for Saturday, August 28th, 2021. Of course, Manny Pacquiao, a week now in the rearview mirror, of course, coming off that 12-round loss to Yordi Ugas. Of course, a lot of people thought that, you know, Pacquiao would smoke Ugas, that this wasn't going to go the route, that Manny Pacquiao was going to roar back in this and that. And, you know, I'm probably going to take a negative on this one, but the bottom line is, when you look at Manny Pacquiao, had he really not gotten the gift of the boxing establishment, had the boxing establishment had not turned their back on Juan Manuel Marquez in those first two fights, it had been Marquez a superstar, probably not Manny Pacquiao. All those divisions in which he won titles, yes, it was impressive. But the bottom line is, at any of those weight classes, he was never the greatest, per se. I mean, at 126 pounds, you're trying to tell me he beats Alexis Arguello at 126 and 130, or Salvador Sanchez? No way, no how. 135, you're trying to tell me that he beats Pernell Whitaker? And I'm not even going to go higher than 135 pounds. Of course, when he was down at his best weight, probably 122, when he beat Ledlow Ledwaba in 2000, was it 2000, I believe, or 2001, of course, for the IBF 122-pound title, he was a last-minute substitute. So, in essence, he was done in by his own M.O. In other words, you know, he came in and won the title as a last-minute substitute when he fought Ledwaba. And, of course, now this last-minute substitute comes in for Errol Spence on less than 2 weeks' notice and schools him. Bottom line is, at the end of 12 rounds, you know Yordi Ugas won that fight, no doubt about that. Now, Manny Pacquiao, is he going to fight again? Well, here's what Manny has to say.
Assess your performance tonight against Yordanis Ugas.
My performance right tonight is not really 100%, because it happened the second, third round. I have cramping my both legs. I cannot move. So if my legs is not hurt, I can outbox him by, you know, moving past or side by side. It happened that my legs stuck. So
you've had that issue before, Manny, but not at age 42. How much was age a factor tonight?
Big factor, but you know, it just happened that my legs are cramping tight. So
it was hard to make adjustments against Yordanis Ugas tonight. Do you regret taking this fight on short notice?
I'm not regret that. It's boxing. I'm a fighter, so that's boxing. It happened that way.
How will this performance influence your decision to either come back to the ring or retire?
Right now, probably thinking about retirement.
What is it about tonight?
I don't know. I'm not closing this. It's not a percentage. 60-40.
There's also a political career for you that awaits you, but you've given boxing fans over two decades of your life. What's your message to them if this is your final hurrah as a fighter?
I want to thank the fans, boxing fans, for always praying for us, supporting us. And I know that there's a lot of fighters, young fighters right now. I think what I have done in boxing, at least I contributed a record in boxing history for how many decades.
Manny, I want to thank you on behalf of all fight fans for your over two decades, the eight titles you won in different weight classes, for fighting the best over every weight class that you were in, five-time lineal champion. We wish you the best.
Thank you.
Manny Pacquiao, of course, post Ugas last week, of course, a 12-round decision loss, and it was a deserved loss. I mean, some people said to me, oh, did you think Manny could have won that fight? It was close. It wasn't close unless you were closing your eyes. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV, of course, coming to you live on the Veev TV network and Sports Byline, of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, all kinds of different platforms. That is our video stream, of course, coming to you live on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, that's some of our audio feeds as well as SportsByline.com. Straight up, we take it to the East Coast, bring in the Bronx Bomber himself. We'll talk about boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. And how are you on this lovely day, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. I'm here sipping some water so I could wash down this crow from last week, because I definitely was part of the pundits that thought that Manny would not have a hard time against Ugas, and he had more than a hard time. He was soundly beaten by a guy who fought the fight of his life. He had a game plan. He stuck by it. And yeah, Father Time played a role into it, but I don't want to, you know, take that much credit from Ugas. He fought a perfect game plan, kept Manny at bay. And, you know, Manny just had no answers for that jab. And he looked every bit his 42 years.
And Luis de Cubas, the Cuban icon, I call him, man, he's one of the smartest guys I ever met in my life, and he's a 420 guy as well. But the bottom line is, you know, him and his kid were in that corner. They backed this Cuban guy. They bring in a lot of those Cuban fighters across the from across the pond, and they bring them to Miami and get them together, get them houses and that. And like, a lot of the guys don't turn out, but, you know, some do, and this guy obviously turned out big. Now, his big money fight would be a rematch with Manny Pacquiao. I don't want to see a rematch with Manny Pacquiao. Although, you know, I saw Ali Holmes, and that was certainly a lot sadder than this was. I cried that night, October 2nd, 1980 in Las Vegas. But, I felt similar. In other words, I said to myself that Manny Pacquiao's given it his time. He's been a good man. He's bought homes for poor people in the Philippines. He's done stuff that other fighters haven't done. And I consider him the second greatest fighter since Muhammad Ali. And I don't mean from boxing skills. I mean from his outside of the ring endeavors. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that one, Sock?
1,000%. Manny is an icon worldwide, you know, and his humanitarianism in his homeland, the Philippines, is without question. He's probably a better human being than he is a fighter. And that's saying a lot, you know. He's very generous with his time, his money, and he's a patriot. He loves his Philippines, his people. He's a guy that lives his faith, it seems. And, you know, his legacy is not going to be last week. People know that. I mean, he lost soundly, but that's boxing. I mean, couple of years ago, we had Saddam Ali retire Miguel Cotto. You know, like, it happens. You know, you don't necessarily lose to the best guy. And Ugas, up until last week, was an ordinary fighter who couldn't get over the hump. You know, he couldn't against Sean Porter, although it was just debatable. You know, and he's lost some fights that, you know, it's like, okay, this guy is what he is. He's a B-level guy at best. So it happens in boxing, you know.
Okay.
As far as him continuing, I would lean for him to retire. But the last thing that dies on a fighter is not his power, is not his reflexes, is his ego. And Manny has a big ego.
Yeah,
I can see a rematch.
And the fact that they're offering $20 million a fight. You know what? I was told, in off subject for a second, they're giving Bill Goldberg $2 million for each of those short wrestling matches he gets. Bring that up a little bit later. But yeah, as long as Manny Pacquiao's being offered $20 million to fight, sort of tough to walk away.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Can you imagine how much $20 million would go in the Philippines? I think it would stretch pretty well.
Well, I'm not even getting into the money in the Philippines. When I was over there, it costs nothing to live there. It costs nothing to hang out there. It costs nothing to party there. It was one of the cheapest places on the planet to party. And I'm talking about party big time. If I was a big time partier, Manila would have been cool. But I wasn't a big time partier, so it wasn't all that great. So here we have a sort of a quiet weekend of boxing. Sort of people get to think about the end of Manny Pacquiao per se. But, you know, let's give him some props. I mean, he beat some good guys along the way, but had the boxing establishment actually done what was right and righteous, he wouldn't have got past those first couple of Marquez fights in the minds of like 85% of the world, okay, except for the Filipinos, I believe. And had that went a different course, I don't think he'd have been the great fighter that he was. In other words, I think he greatly benefited from the fact that Marquez had to add new muscles to beat him at 39 years old.
Yeah, I mean, those Marquez fights were close. I still think he won that first fight.
Okay.
And I think people, the heart that Marquez showed that he could have easily folded the tent after that first round, kind of, you know, it's like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? And I think people gave him more credit just for going the distance. And yes, he did win rounds, but I still gave that fight to Pacquiao.
Okay. We can agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah. You know, but, you're right. Some opportunity. That's what it's about, right? Sometimes just being at the right place at the right time, you know?
Right time, right place. Robert the Ghost Guerrero, the garlic guy, of course, comes to us from the garlic capital of the world. In fact, you know, you can drive down many, many highways in America and catch a smell, and you know where you're at, okay? I mean, like, whoa! Anyway, bad smells. But when you drive through Gilroy, it's nothing but garlic. I kid you not. Year-round, you drive down Highway 101, you drive through Gilroy, California on the highway there, and you can smell garlic. Of course, that's where Robert Guerrero's from, and he beat Victor Ortiz last week. Of course, it was like a Rocky versus Rocky type of thing, not a whole lot of skill, but both guys gave it their all, and the thing with Victor Ortiz is, had he given it his all years ago, he might have been a different guy because, you know, he told me after like his sixth or seventh fight, and people remember this, he heard it on people that heard this on the air here, and I think he did it on foreign HBO TV, HB International. He said, you know, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And he was only seven fights into this. So I was of the opinion that if you could outwill Victor Ortiz, you could beat Victor Ortiz. You see where I'm coming from there?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, when he suffered his first loss to Maidana, you know, a lot of people questioned his, you know, his gumption.
Intestinal Ortiz, fortitude.
Yeah.
Stones.
Yeah. And mind you, his best fight was a fight that he picked himself off the canvas against Andre Berto, which was a really good fight, which was a fight of the year candidate, you know. He's probably somebody that, I mean, we know about his rough background as far as him growing up, you know, not really having a dad. And he just, I mean, to get to where he got in life is tremendous, you know. But he's definitely in that wasted potential category.
Okay, text coming in here. I don't know if this guy's trying to be a smartass or not, but who's tougher, Robert Guerrero or his father? We'll answer that after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. The video stream coming to you on Twitch.tv and, of course, Veev TV as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV.
The best things in life are free.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
You know, just excited. Just excited to be back. I wish we could do a fight every night. You know me, Pedro.
My buddy, Nick Charles. Remember he had all that beautiful hair on CNN? He was just a stud, no doubt about it. A married man for many, many a year. Never fooled around his wife. It was always a pleasure to work with and see Nick Charles. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, WBC TV, of course, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Check out their website, their interactive website. Got everything on it, you can imagine. WBCBoxing.com. Straight up, we take it back to the East Coast. Of course, on the line from the Bronx is the Bronx Bomber himself, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Sock, what's on your mind? What's going on? What are you thinking? What's clicking right now in you?
I got to admit it. I'm very intrigued that tomorrow night's Jake Paul Tyrone Woodley fight, you know. I succumb to the peer pressure, you know. I'm definitely all in on the circus tomorrow. Jake Paul and Woodley, and that's pretty much it on the slow boxing weekend. I think it's interesting. I want to see, you know, how much pride Tyrone Woodley has. You know, he's 39. He seems in great shape, you know, to let a dude basically off the street, you know, step into an arena that's been your world for the last 20 years as far as just combat. I mean, I want to see what Tyrone Woodley's made out of, you know, and also Jake Paul, how legitimate he is, you know. Yes, he's a circus. He's over the top. He's, they had a great press conference the other day. Tyrone Woodley called them, he didn't use the exact words, but he was referring to him as a culture vulture, you know, basically a white boy capitalizing off of hip hop and, you know, basically being a fraud, wearing the big chains and not being from that street life. So it's got a lot of, I'm interested. I'm in. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay, you're in, and I'm sitting here holding a garbage can in front of my face here on the Sports Byline broadcast. Those watching on Twitch TV and WBC TV and, of course, Viv TV as well, you can see me with the garbage can here. I'm not a Jake Paul fan. He's 3-0. He's got 3 knockouts, but the bottom line is I'm just not a fan. Here's what's up. Here's what sort of makes the fight intriguing. The fact that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. was beaten by Anderson Silva, something I picked about a month and a half ago because Silva was such a big guy. And Woodley is a, you know, Woodley's a good fighter. Woodley's got some good skills, and I'm not trying to say he's going to be like the next Ray Robinson or anything like that. I'll take that back. In fact, we'll talk about Ray Robinson in the next segment today of this show. But the bottom line is I don't think he's going to be the next Ray Leonard or anything like that. But the thing is, I think Tyrone Woodley will put up a game show. I mean, and but I don't know, what's a game show? I mean, what's really a game show between these two guys? You hear what I'm saying? So it's entertainment. I don't think you should have to pay for it. It's going to be on Showtime. I'm a little shocked that it's coming to you from the Field House, the Rocket Mortgage Field House in Cleveland, Ohio. So Cleveland's doing boxing again. I wonder if Joey Max is still alive back there. But the bottom line is, Jake Paul and Tyrone Woodley, it's worth watching tomorrow night. I think I will sneak a peek at it only if I don't have to pay. Is that cool?
I'll be peeking through the fence as well, sir. I'll definitely, I got these neighbors, and they got a see-through fence. I will definitely be watching them.
Now, you know that? That's how Don King started pay-per-view back in 1951, right? Don't you know that, right? A couple of kids were fighting in the schoolyard, and he like stood near the fence and said, "You want to watch it? You want to watch it through this hole in the fence? You got to give me some money." That was Don King. That's how Don King came alive. Of course, turned 89 years old, 90 years old last week. Haven't heard from him. I called him a couple of times. He ain't returning phone calls. That's him. But 9 years old, you look back at his legacy, man, Chavez, Tyson, of course, Tyson with the 90th birthday of Don King coming around, talk about the time he was kicking Don King's ass. And I told you about that. My buddy Isidore, the driver. Don King. Yeah. Who passed away in the last year from COVID, but he had to get out the car and try to defend Don against, Mike, who was slapping around. And Mike says, "You want some of this? You want some of this too?" Anyway. Let's switch gears just for a second. What's the story on Caleb? We got about 4 minutes left. What's the story on this Caleb Plant, Canelo Alvarez thing? Did Al Haymon really try to put a gun to Canelo Alvarez's head and get him to sign an extensive promotional contract with PBC, or he wasn't going to get a shot at that magic fourth belt that he wants so badly?
It seems that that was the carrot they were waving at him. I mean, you hear so many stories about why it was stalled. Caleb gave an interview on ESPN, and he said that basically it was on him that he blames Canelo. He said that we had to wait for him to get married, and he had a golf tournament. He was basically painting out Canelo to be a diva, and that they gave in to all their demands. But according to Plant, it was a rematch clause originally this is kind of like a winner take all, no rematches. Then supposedly Canelo wanted a rematch in case they lost. But there was no rematch on the Plant side. So whatever happened, only, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there in the negotiations. I haven't seen any of the paperwork.
But even if Plant beat Canelo, where the hell could he go but a rematch?
Absolutely. Exactly. And I'm sure Canelo's in mindset, just like the world is, Caleb Plant needs me more than I need him. You know, so, I mean, it's a trinket, you know, it's history. It's the first time the super middleweight division is going to be wiped out, you know, which is pretty remarkable considering the fact that, you know, some of the best fighters of all time has fought in super middleweight at some point in their career, and it's never happened. Like I said, I don't know until I see the paperwork. Have you heard anything?
That's what I'm hearing.
I just voiced
the what I've been hearing in my ear. September the 11th, Oscar Valdez, the world champion, 130 pounds, the linear and WBC world champion, of course, is on ESPN, unbeaten, 126-pound champion, now 130-pound champion, taking on Robinson Canseco. Canseco beat him in the amateur, so there's some bad blood here, and Oscar's going to get to do it in Tucson, Arizona. And I don't know if you know a story or not, but he was born in Mexico and raised in Tucson.
I did not know that. I didn't know that. That's always cool. Whenever these guys have that amateur history, it's always an easy way to build a fight. Oscar Valdez, who is climbing on that pound for pound ranking after his brilliant performance against Brichelt, looking forward to seeing him back in action.
Nobody should. I'll repeat it again. I may be repeating myself and sounding like I'm redundant, but when he got down on his hands and knees afterwards and thanked Brichelt when Brichelt was on that stool in a messed up condition, this and that was the classiest picture I've seen in decades.
That was. It was kind of like earlier you mentioned Arguello. I remember as a kid watching Arguello go to Mancini and picking him up and saying how that it's not the end of the world, that he's going to be a world champion. You know, so good sportsmanship is not dead.
One of these days, we got to talk about Mancini, Arguello, and all that kind of good stuff, because I was there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Socrates Palmer, a wonderful weekend to you. Say hello to the family, and of course, the young man as well. I hope he's doing well.
He's doing great, Pedro. Thank you for having me on. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer Jr., exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. You're tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but as you can see, never duplicated.
Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
I'll be running. You gonna run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe. Okay.
Running with Sugar Ray Robinson, the greatest welterweight of all time, bar none, including the great Sugar Ray Robinson as well. Of course, born Walker Smith in 1919, of course, a stellar amateur career. He lost one fight, I think he was 30-1 as an amateur, was Sugar Ray Robinson. Of course, he captured the World Welterweight Championship, and I think he was undefeated in like 43 or 44 fights when he got that title. Of course, he never lost at welterweight, but the bottom line is, outside of beating Tommy Bell for the title and Kid Gavilan, who was aged at that point in time, of course, the Cuban warrior who I mistakenly gave a microphone to back in like the early 1990s. I gave him a microphone in Miami, Florida. I knew, listen, you don't give microphones to ex-fighters that you haven't talked to before, and you don't give microphones to kids, okay? And animals like that, kind of animals, of course, they're also part of live TV. When animals are part of live TV, you never know what's going on. But I gave Kim Gavilan the mic, and I had to snatch it back out of his hand after about 35 seconds. He was in bad shape. Anyway, bottom line is, oh, speaking of Kim Gavilan, guess how he got around in his later days? WBC pension. That's right. The World Boxing Council took care of him. I asked him about that. How are you paying your bills this night? He goes, Jose sends me a check each month. Jose was sending him a grand a month. Jose Suleiman, the founder and, of course, the former president of the World Boxing Council. His son, Mauricio Suleiman, we hope to have him on the show real soon. Anyway, back to Ray Robinson. So he wins the World Welterweight Championship against Tommy Bell. He defends it against Kid Gavilan. Outside of that, it doesn't do a whole lot. Moves up to 160 pounds. Of course, then he fights guys like, you know, Carmen Basilio. I mean, he fought Carmen. Carmen was a former welterweight champion, so he fights Carmen at 160 pounds. Carmen's a little tiny guy. He's an onion farmer. Of course, Carmen came on the show a couple of times. One time he said that I couldn't sing. Remember that one when he burned me for not having spent the money my mother gave me on singing lessons? Well, anyway, another time he came on the show, and I said to him, how is this Ray Robinson thing? Is he the greatest fighter of all time? And I spent time with Ray Robinson. It's not like I'm biased against him or anything like that. But I asked the onion farmer. That's right. That's what he was called, the onion farmer from upstate New York, Carmen Basilio. Was Ray Robinson the greatest fighter of all time? He goes, how could he be if I beat him? And then when he beat me, it was a split decision. He barely beat me in the rematch. If he beat me, he barely beat me in the rematch. So what I'm trying to tell you is that he wasn't the greatest fighter of all time. Was he good for that point in time in boxing? Yes. And that's the way Carmen left it. And that's the way I sort of look at it. I mean, all in all, I think his record was 174 wins, 19 losses, 6 draws, with 109 knockouts. Of course, got knocked out that one time when he got burned by the heat, he says, against light heavyweight champion Joey Maxwell. I think that was in the Las Vegas heat. I don't know, somewhere in the heat. Anyway, bottom line is the ring temperature went to like 103, 104 degrees, and Robinson bowed out, I think, after 12 rounds. Of course, Maxwell told me time and time again, mentioned on the show, that it wasn't the heat that kicked Ray Robinson's ass that day. It was him. But that denied Ray Robinson of a 175-pound championship, and he never went back after that. But at 160 pounds, you know, he lost to Joey. I take that he lost to Joey Giardello in 1963. That was probably his last big fight as far as, you know, but he beat guys like, you know, Rocky Graziano 4 years past his prime, 4 years past his title reign at welterweight champion. And, of course, then he beat, who else, a middleweight champion? And then, of course, he beat Bobo Olsen. Carl Bobo Olsen, of course, the guy that I introduced in his last public event, I guess circa about 1998, 1999, somewhere up in Sacramento area for some boxing hall of fame up there. But the bottom line is he beat Carl Bobo Olsen. You know, the guys that he beat, they weren't all that great. I mean, you've got to, what I'm trying to tell you is history will look at Ray Robinson and keep giving him all these accolades, and saying he was the greatest fighter of all time, but he wasn't. He just wasn't. I mean, numbers prove, you know, that he had a lot of fights, but if you look at his record, he fought guys who were 2-6 and 35 and 90 and go, I'm not exaggerating. He fought a lot of bums. I mean, a lot of bums. I'll go down the list here for you. Harvey McCullough, the last two fights he won of note, McCullough was what? 7-26. And he beat McCullough twice. You know, both 10-round decisions. And that was in Richmond, Ohio, and then I think in Cleveland. But the bottom line is he fought a whole lot of bums. And other times he fought Earl Bestings, who was 12-11. Jimmy Beecham, not a bad fighter back in the day, but he was 41-30 at the time. Of course, Joey Beltretti, he was like 7-3. I can go on, 12-6, 45-15, 21-32, 6-25, 21-10. Ray Robinson got a lot of wins, but Ray Robinson beat that many great fighters. So I'm going to have to say this, as far as being the greatest fighter of all time, nah, no way. As far as the greatest welterweight of all time, that ain't even close. I remember what he told me one time in 1984, I had him alone in the Aladdin Hotel. He was staying across from me. We were at the Alexis Arguello, the Tommy Hearns Roberto Duran fight when Tommy flattened Roberto in 2 rounds. Big fat ass Roberto came to town thinking, well, maybe I can get through this one, until he looked up at him and realized how big he was. He realized he was in for the fight of his life. Anyway, so Duran gets knocked out by Hearns, and I go back to the Aladdin Hotel, and Sugar Ray and his wife Millie were staying in the room across from us, I think about the fifth floor of the old hotel. And he called me into his room, and, you know, he sat me down. He had a pink bathrobe on. He had this pink shower cap on, all the way Sugar Ray, no doubt about that. Of course, he was known for pink Cadillacs and things like that, pink robes. Anyway, so we're talking about Leonard, we're talking about Duran, we're talking about Hearns, and he was telling me that he thought that Duran's accomplishments, even though he had been knocked out by Hearns that night prior, were greater than Tommy Hearns. And I was like, whoa. He said, yeah, you know, Tommy beat up a guy that was like 25, 30 pounds lighter than him. Big deal. That's the way Sugar Ray Robinson put it. So then when I brought up Sugar Ray Leonard, or the man born Ray Charles Leonard, the namesake of Ray Charles, the late singer, he said to me, he looked over, and I think he was searching for the proper response because, you know, this was going to be history. No doubt about that thought. So I said, so talk to me about Ray Leonard. He goes, well, he's just a faster version of me, and he punches crisper. So if he punches crisper, then Ray Robinson is trying to say, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard is a better fighter than me. And I think he was. I think hands down. I mean, when you look at Ray and some of the fights that he had, he won the big ones until he got old. He won the big ones. Ray Robinson was losing fights to, you know, I mean, he lost fights he shouldn't have lost. And some people say, well, he was just losing so he can win the rematch and make some money. Well, if that was a businessman type of thing, more power to him. At the end of the day, I just don't think that Ray Robinson was the greatest fighter of all time. I really don't. Tyson Fury in training camp, according to Kenny Rainford and his, Kenny Rainford, of course, our UK agent, the boxing ambassador of goodwill, coming to us from the UK. Of course, the Queen's best asset when it comes to the world of boxing, no doubt about that. But Kenny's saying that Tyson Fury has been training 3 weeks in the UK, and he's going to leave in 3 weeks for 8 weeks of training here in the United States. But he's looking sharp for the last few weeks training in the UK. Of course, Tyson Fury, the world linear champion, is still to take on in that third fight, Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder, 2004 Olympic bronze medalist, the Bronx Bomber. Call him, I don't know. Listen, he can punch. His punches are like, you know, must-see TV as far as when he knocks people out, when he hits people. But guess what? One guy got up from that, not once, but twice, and that was Tyson Fury. And the fact that he got up, you know, in that 12th round, whoa, that was like a stunner, because he sort of looked like The Undertaker. You know, like one of those WWE matches, like laying there, dead man, this and that. I didn't think Tyson Fury was getting up. And then he just bounced up. And of course, he says, how did I get up? I don't know. But the bottom line is, Tyson Fury showed incredible will in both fights, because I think he won both fights. Of course, the one they called a draw, and then the second time around, I mean, he could, listen, if he and Deontay Wilder were boyfriend, he would have been arrested for domestic violence. He beat up on Deontay so bad in that second fight. I mean, he blitzed him. And of course, Wilder coming back with, oh, it was a mask I was carrying to the ring. It was too heavy. And my shoes were bad. And oh, the gloves, he thumbed me. And then the gloves were altered and this kind of good stuff. I mean, every conspiracy in the entire world, wait. And Mark Breland and his trainer put Valiums in his water. That's what he accused his trainer of. He accused his trainer in print and on television and in media that Mark Breland, the 1984 Olympic gold medalist, greatest amateur maybe of all time, but not the greatest pro of all time, but that Mark Breland, his head trainer, had put Valiums, like Xanax, something like that, Melamine pills in his water. And that's what took away from his performance, and that was the reason why he lost. Come on, man. You were getting pounded on like a drum. I'm serious. And then finally the drum skin broke and you were down and you were done. So I can't understand why Deontay Wilder even deserves a third fight, other than the fact that he was slick enough they have these little negotiations, and he was slick enough. Oh, arbitration. He was slick enough to win an arbitration case because he wasn't going to get this fight. It was supposed to be Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury hooking it up in Arabia for like half the money in the world, something like that, right? A lot of money. But that fight ain't going to happen because Deontay Wilder prevailed in some type of arbitration, and it was binding arbitration. Most arbitrations I've been involved with, there's three or four of them, which I advise people, and one which I was involved with myself, the non-binding arbitration. What non-binding arbitration means is you don't have to go along with what the arbitrators say. But binding arbitration, you gotta go. And of course, Tyson Fury lost the binding arbitration, Deontay Wilder, thus the third fight. Now, will the third fight be any different from the first two? I mean, think about this. In the first two fights, they fought like 19 rounds, maybe 19 rounds, right? How many of them did Tyson Fury lose? Two. The both rounds in which he got knocked down. Outside of that, he was winning. I mean, he owned Deontay Wilder. That's why, unless Deontay's looking for a cash grab, I can't understand why he would want to come back and like take the lick and he's going to take this third time. And he always says, I want to go out on my shield. You're going to get a chance, pal. You're going to get your opportunity to go out on your shield. Believe me, you're going to get your opportunity to go out on your shield, and you win, and you will when they finally hook up in the third fight. Of course, they've got a date set on that, but I hate coming up with a date because every time I come up with a date for this fight, they keep canceling it and postponing it and postponing it. So we'll just put that on reserve for the moment. Bottom line is, the sport of boxing, of course, coming up with a pay-per-view tomorrow that I'm not high on, but, you know, some people might get off on it. Jake Paul and Tyrone Woodley, of course, the MMA fighter, of course, coming back to and coming into the world of boxing. I think he had a couple amateur fights. I'm not sure, but he's going to take on Jake Paul. A lot of people are intrigued by that. More power to you. 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on the East Coast. 5 o'clock on the West Coast. That is, of course, is coming to you on Showtime from the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland, Ohio. Coming up on the boxing schedule, of course, the 11th. Oscar De La Hoya and Vitor Belfort. Of course, that's going to be some type of fight, an in-demand pay-per-view coming to us from the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. So Oscar thinks he's going to be able to pack. Oscar, you ain't no Ryan Garcia. You're an old dude, bro. And unless you've got something going on and you're giving away free tickets, I can't see this being a big money event. I just can't. I mean, Oscar De La Hoya, last time we saw you, you were being reduced to boxing rubble by Manny Pacquiao. Remember that? Manny Pacquiao reduced you to boxing rubble. And we saw what happened to Manny Pacquiao recently. So Oscar De La Hoya coming back after losing to Pacquiao and wanting to take on an MMA fighter in Tyrone Woodley. Good luck, Tyrone Woodley. I hope Tyrone Woodley mops the floor with Oscar De La Hoya. Why? Because these guys are perpetrating frauds upon the American public. Yeah, it sort of looks good. It's a decent attraction, this and that, but they're perpetrating a fraud. I mean, it would be like a plumber taking on an electrician. That's probably the best way I could put it. They both work in the house. They both work on aspects within the house and maintaining the house, but they do totally different things. And that's this MMA and boxing type of thing. Of course, the one exception to the rule was Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., the laziest Mexican I've ever met. I take that back. Not the laziest. Yeah. He's got to be. Let me tell you, this guy was born in the suburbs, okay, with a mansion and people waiting on him and people feeding him and all that kind of good stuff where his father hung out in a railroad car in Tijuana. That's how he did his preliminary days. He lived in a railroad car. That's right, like on the tracks. I kid you not, he had a bed inside of a railroad. That was his house. He lived in, along with some other fighters, they lived in railroad cars on the tracks. That's how they survived in Tijuana. Now, the son, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., not so much. I mean, he captured the WBC middleweight title, and that was probably, he was probably very fortunate to do that. But outside of that, he's done nothing, and he shamed his father. And his father's not afraid to come out and say that this kid shames me, and his father won't support all this not being 100%, not being 2,000% into the fight game, because, you know, he was. I mean, Chavez Sr. didn't have too many limitations. He lost to Pernell Whitaker. I mean, Pernell, like, gangster slapped him in that bout they had down there in the Alamo Dome, I think, there in San Antonio, Texas. But outside of that, Julio Cesar Chavez, pretty solid fighter. I mean, one of the most greatest fighters of all time. Probably Mexico's greatest fighter, outside of maybe Salvador Sanchez. Of course, Salvador Sanchez, his career was cut short in 1982, of course, when he ran into the back of that chicken truck after getting some nookie. Bottom line is, he paid for it dearly. The Nookie. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my trunk, my coat, my side threw in the towel. And, you know, I'm ready to go out on my shield, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of things going on coming into this fight, but it is what it is. You know, my leg was already re-coming in due to other little things. But, you know, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The guitar of my good buddy, Mr. Jeff Tamalier, of course, with the Starship Tower of Power Average White Band. Speaking of Average White Band, speaking of Tower of Power, they're supposed to play tomorrow at Sigma Stern Grove here in the city by the bay. But guess what? The Grove got flooded out by like 90,000 gallons of water. So It's a flood scene. It's not going to happen. The concert won't happen this week. So good luck to Tower of Power. I think Brent Carter was coming out from the East Coast to do the lead on that. Of course, he being the current lead for AWB. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. You know, in the past couple of weeks, I've gotten some bad news regarding the health of my friends. Of course, Ralph Sapp, who I grew up with, I mean, he was like my mother's best friend was his my mother's best friend was his mother in this and that. He had like three strokes, you know, and that was brought on by smoking, the doctor says. But the bottom line is things aren't looking all that good for him. He's an SF general as I speak. And now the guy that lived in the same building as him, his landlord, was also one of my best buddies growing up. And we still talk, one of my closest friends of all time, Bobby A., the DJ, Bobby Antonelli. He's now in the hospital with COVID. So I don't know what to say other than, may the health, may everything go in their favor. But the bottom line is, if you didn't take the vaccine, you brought this spit on yourself. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, we also are brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Check them out at WBCBoxing.com. We come back with the Sunday edition, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and of course, Veev TV. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you know that.